Shoot, dude. Drink at. We look for that maybe on my back desk.
What is it?
Oh, it's right there. You can grab that for me. Hey, Michelle, I see your face up there. There's Billy, too. Dave Houston's been, like, hopping on for a few days in a row, man. That's interesting. I got Dave... Is Dave Barnes on yet? How's everybody doing? Chris Hain, how are you, sir? I'm doing all right. Birthday cake. Not yet. But wait a minute. Check us out. I don't know how well you guys are going to be able to see that. But it's this really sweet cheesecake that my daughter Claire made for me. She's kind of the baker in the family, which is pretty cool. So it'll be good. It'll taste good. Dave Barnes chided me about hand sanitizing on the yesterday's video. And dude, I started off doing that, and then I realized, because I haven't watched all of these, but I've watched a number of them, so I can get comments, you know, and get a little more of the conversation. And I noticed how all the sound is picked up like that. Or how many of you are getting tired of me doing this? And you can like hear it as clear as day. So I was trying to stay away from the whole hand rub thing, but it is what it is. I noticed too, you can even hear like when I take a sigh. So it's funny. But yeah, 37 years ago today, I was born in a hallway of Denver General. So, you know, I guess I came quick is what I hear. So in a hallway, Jace Jonlick is on, huh? That's interesting. That's my brother-in-law from SoCal. Anyway, guys, I'm going to have Silas play a song for us, and, it's not happy birthday. It's not happy birthday. So enjoy the song.
Unfortunately. So, happy birthday, Dad. I'm gonna play Wagon Wheel, by a lot of different people. You guys have probably heard of this one, so, those of you that know it, sing along at home.
South to the land of the pines, I'm on my way down to North Carolina. I'm staring up the road and pray to God I see headlights. Well, I made it down the coast in 17 hours and picking me a bouquet of dogwood flowers. I'm a hoping for Raleigh, I could see my baby tonight. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Mama, rock me mama, like the wind and the rain. Rock me mama, like a southbound train. Hey, mama, rock me.
Keep those down one real fast.
Hey,
sorry.
Walking down south, out of Roanoke, I got a trucker out of Philly, had a nice gold coat, but he's heading west from the Cumberland Gap to Johnson City, Tennessee, and I gotta get a move on, fish for the sun. I hear my baby calling my name, and I know that she's the only one, and if I die early, at least I will die free. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel, rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, mama, rock me. So rock me, mama, like the wind and the rain. Rock me, mama, like a southbound train. Hey, mama, rock me.
Sorry, I need to change my capo so much.
You know, if you just didn't use a capo.
Well, then it's useless.
Yeah, that was cool. Going through comments of, hey, Candyberry. Going through comments of yesterday's vid, you know, a lot of folks stressing the importance of a plan, and you know, Marine, and you know, the assumption that there's not a plan, or you know, not thinking there's a plan or a good enough plan, and we need a plan. So I haven't seen it on Facebook yet about Gold Beach's city council meeting last night, but. So as far as, you know, planning on how to reopen businesses and other stores, well, Kate Brown's draft guidelines for reopening those things are pretty detailed. And I didn't, I thought there was going to be a bit more room for kind of local jurisdictions to have a say in that, for kind of what works best for them, because, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all thing. And seeing her, like, just restaurants, for example, her guidelines for them are like four stinking pages long, and I've never owned a restaurant, but when I look through that, I don't know what the cost of that will be for restaurants, and if they'll even be able to do that and make any money to stay open. So, Kate Brown's guidelines are coming down pretty specific about different things. The one topic that is kind of in our control, because it was done locally, the closing of transient lodging facilities, and a plan, a good plan to open those up, you know, and working together, working with the county together, and just having one good cohesive plan. I was floored last night when Gold Beach just removed their restrictions on transit lodging facilities. You know, they had a resolution was presented following kind of a guidelines and plan that was worked out between city administrators of the cities and Summer Matheson at the county, you know. So I don't know. I was floored by Gold Beach's deal. So they just opened it up, you know, just completely. And I thought that Gold Beach would be the longest, kind of like, not hold out, but the city that was most concerned about opening transient lodging. So they voted, it ended up being unanimous to go ahead and just open them up, you know, full bore. And what's really interesting to me about that is Summer is a Gold Beach city councilor. So, you know, and I don't know her super well. And really only know her through county stuff, you know, and I've always been in, you know, impressed enough with her at the county level. And she was working on this plan with the city administrators and then voted as a counselor or something very, very different. So, you know, that was discouraging, especially when, you know, there's plenty of you all that are harping on, like, you know, cohesion and working together to come up with a plan. And I mean, I've harped on it too. And on this one issue that we do have local control over, and that was taking place and a plan was being drawn up, and that, you know, to see that from Gold Beach, it was just, I was really surprised, really surprised. Brookings, you know, the actual city of Brookings, and, you know, even though we're the big city in the county, and it's like, you know, the raging metropolis down here in Brookings as compared to the rest of the county. But in Brookings, our actual, like, number of short-term rental rooms and RV spots and vacation rentals kind of per capita is really pretty small compared to, like, Gold Beach. So I don't have the numbers right in front of me. But I want to say there's like 450 total motel rooms, camp spots, like at Harris Beach State Park, and vacation rentals in Brookings. And so that, you know, that equates to only, you know, 4 or 5% of our population, okay? And Harris Beach was closed, so it really brought the number down pretty small to where it was like 4%. Of our population. Gold Beach is a lot bigger, and they're like, I want to say, over 20% for number of rentable rooms and things as compared to their population. So for them to open completely is kind of a bigger deal for us to open when you're talking about, you know, supply chains and things like that, and, you know, a possible inundation of people. I mean, even if every room in Brookings was rented out, numbers wise, it's not exactly like an inundation. Where Gold Beach, you're talking 20% of the population all of a sudden increasing the population by 20%. It's a bigger deal. So I don't, you know, I don't know where, I know I haven't seen their meeting. I don't think I can see it, actually. And they do teleconference meetings. They're not meeting in the council chambers, so I may never be able to watch. But from what I've gathered speaking to people that were there, or, you know, it's kind of like secondhand, It was a surprise to a lot of folks, and they deliberated for a time on the resolution they had drafted, which I think was kind of like an open 50%, you know, kind of a staggered approach, and started different counselors had issues with different statements or whatever in the resolution, and just the conversation bogged to where finally it was, you know, it kind of sounds like a shrug to me, saying, all right, let's just do it and just be done. So I don't know, you know, after that, I'm almost, you know, I would bet on the county just following suit and just opening all their transient lodging stuff. So, you know, again, I don't count on the vote until the vote's actually taken. And I can't say for sure what Brookings would do when we meet after the county's meeting. But just thinking about it kind of logically and realistically, I would imagine that Brookings will just follow suit then too, because it wouldn't really do much just to have the handful of hotels that we have closed when every place else is open. So, I don't know. It was a bummer, though, you know. And I know that the obvious, you know, people that were putting in the time there to work in cohesion and make a plan, you know, there's that doesn't help for motivation to work harder in a across jurisdictions and to come up with plans. You know, when you put a lot of time and effort into something, just to all be for naught. That's an issue. But we need to keep doing it. I don't know, Dave Barnes, if Gold Beach opened the city parks or not. I know the whole I was reading Curry County Voices. It might be on there. I don't know. I'll find out because I would like to watch it. But I would imagine, well, it could still be recorded on one screen and see, you know, the whatever six pictures there of all the different councilors. And their council's made up a little different too. I know, like their mayor only votes to break ties. So I think they have either five or six councilors and a mayor, and the mayor presides over meetings, but he only votes to break ties. So it's a little different than us. But anyway, that was a shocker. Shocker. I don't know. I still, the real, like the best laid plan and how I believe that, you know, the economy should be opened up, should have been with other local commerce stuff first, you know, and then you welcome in visitors. I don't, you know, we haven't had any control really of over the governor's order. So I think there was widespread agreement on the order that things really should be opened, and that was shared, and how, you know, local businesses for local people should be opened up first, and you kind of get going soft opening and welcoming visitors would be one of the last, you know, one of the last things we would want to do. But that's obviously not happening. So that's a bummer. So past Kate Brown's detailed guidelines for different businesses and stuff opening up, I'm accepting comments or ideas as far as what other like local plan to be made. And by plan, I mean, you know, something actually tangible, and by plan, like an opening plan, a plan for the businesses, which businesses open and how they open. You know, that's in Governor Brown's guidelines. So Maureen and Candace and others, my ears are open to a realistic plan that you would hope the city and the county would work on, to facilitate that opening when everything is coming down so detailed from the governor. I'm not sure what else I could say to a business. Because, you know, even though the sort of government oversight and restrictions that we've seen is something that I've never experienced in my life, but there is still a constitution and Fat Irish or some other restaurant is still owned by the person that owns it, and they can, you know, they can run it how they want, except for the fact that now they're going to have to follow Kate Brown's guidelines. So I'm interested, you know, if someone can actually give me a real concrete suggestion as far as what else they would like me to, you know, to see me do. I know the masks you know, masks thing, and that is possible to put, you know, it would be possible for the county to have a county ordinance mandating masks in public, and it could be possible for the city to, you know, it's not always a given. And like, even when we closed transient lodging facilities, that was after a long conversation with the city attorney and how that could be done and could be done and be defensible in court. We haven't been challenged on it by anybody, but if we were, that's the thing, you know, that it's actually defensible. So yeah, mandatory masks. When I think of things, I mean, that's the only real thing I can really come up with is a local ordinance to mandate mask wearing. Anything else I'm kind of struggling with when it is so detailed from the governor to open up. And then there was also, I think, I don't remember if it was on yesterday's video or another post of mine, there were questions about businesses that are open and if they should be open. And I was kind of private messaging, I don't even remember her name now. I want to say it was Tammy, Trina Farnham, specifically about South Coast Humane Society. And I know, like, so even those of us that have read Governor Brown's 2012 order, number, you know, 2012, that really laid out who can stay open and who can stay closed, it can be worth a reread. I did it today to kind of refresh my memory about it. And there's a lot of retail that can still be open, with measures in place. And in reading it, I can see why the thrift store decided that it was okay for themselves to open, you know, if they have the protocol in place. You know, if it was spelled out pretty clearly, businesses named that needed to close, and then if you weren't in there, you know, you have these other protocols that you need to have in place. Same with parks. After the council meeting that we had yesterday, and a lot of people asking us about the park closures and everything, city staff has taken another run at what exactly definitely needs to be closed per the order and what can possibly be opened. So there are some changes there that need to be done to the restrooms. That'll happen, I think, just in the next couple days to where we can actually open the restrooms and open the parking lot, and then just have signs posted by the areas that were literally called out in the governor's order to remain closed, like playground structures, you know, Kid Town, and outdoor courts like the basketball court and the tennis court. They'll have to remain closed. But like soccer fields and the baseball diamonds too, you know, outdoor fields, those weren't called out to be closed in the order. So those should get opened up. Yeah, you guys are chatting about masks. And that's the thing about mandating masks. It'd be pretty tough. Ordinances that we pass, like normally, you know, I have a hard time passing an ordinance when I knew there was almost zero chance to really be able to enforce it. You know, that's, and that's not, I mean, that's, I get that that's not necessarily true on a mandatory thing. I mean, you know, you start writing citations, I guess, but just the reality of trying to enforce something like that, you know, so public mask wearing mandated, and it would just, it would consume all law enforcement resources that we have, you know, which in reality it wouldn't, because they don't have time to be dealing with people not wearing masks and more serious crimes to deal with. So you would have something that's mandated that isn't really followed. So I'm right now under the, you know, I'm thinking, the way my brain's thinking right now is for masks to be mandated. That's going to be from store owners. You know, that's where that's going to have to come from, I think, for it to really work. Because they can, Fred Meyer's can enforce that and police it. Grocery outlet, they can enforce it and police it. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, that's kind of, at least today, that's where I'm thinking that would need to come from. I did see a post from LaRose on Facebook that Court Boyce had reached out to her asking about masks and the kind of the reopening plan for the county. And she didn't show the email that he sent, but it was kind of like, you know, taking comments of whether people thought it should be mandatory or not. So, and I haven't spoken to Court in a few days, so I'm not sure where he's, you know, what he's working on there with that. I don't know. See what the county does tomorrow morning. And I guess I'm not going to speak to you guys until after the county meeting and after the city council meeting. So I don't want to be pinned for flip-flopping, but I just, you know, right now, what I'm thinking is that with Gold Beach open, and if the county reopens, I can see the Brooklyn City Council voting to reopen too. And you know, what would really suck though is if that happens and that influences a spike in numbers here to where the county won't be eligible to reopen on the 15th. You know, that's a very real possibility. So I still think big picture, when you talk about something being locked down and then open back up, the logical steps would be to open things locally, get that going, and then visitors come. So it is backwards in my mind for sure. And, you know, and to be honest, I mean, I can't tell you exactly what Brooklyn City Council is going to say, but I wouldn't be surprised if they, oh, exactly. Candace Michelle, is that about my comment about possibly it screwing the opening date? Yeah. You know, that would really suck. That, you know, okay, you know, whoever wants tourists here, okay, you won, you know, tourists are coming here, and now guess what? We're not able to open on May 15th. That would really be something, you know. And it would be, I'm still kind of hopeful that the county, because there was a plan kind of in the works there with a county employee and city administrators, and there was, you know, there was a decent plan there put in place that we all kind of could have hopped on board with and a phased opening. I'm still holding out some hope that the county will do that. And Gold Beach could go back and Gold Beach could fix theirs. So I don't know. We'll see. And Holly Beyer, I think it was a couple days ago, a comment from you asking me about how Azalea Formal Gardens was doing. So, I mean, I saw it. I don't think I've been in the Formal Gardens for a little while, but I know where you're, you know, I know really the basis of the question there, and with Azalea Park Foundation and how is Formal Gardens looking now. And I'm good to chat about that. But obviously, I mean, right now everything is you know, surrounded with the issue at hand. So that's it, guys. It's 6:30. Dave Barnes says Brad Alcorn laid out a good plan for Brookings to follow. What happened to that? So Dave, I mean, Brad's kind of framework plan, it was a good start. But again, the governor comes out with draft guidelines that are incredibly detailed, you know, of exactly what businesses need to do to be able to open. So it trumped a lot of local thinking as far as us being able to come up with something that worked for us locally, you know, worked for restaurants here and you know, our stuff here. So, you know, that was that. I mean, same with, like, you know, Brad had ideas about, you know, that were, you know, across different industries and reaching out to the local people in that industry and, you know, can be able to come up with something. And it would have been cool, you know, because here we are in rural Oregon. A lot of things make sense for Metro, but don't make sense for us. So Holly Beyer, I get it, but it was a big deal for me. Oh, I know. I mean, I know. And we can talk about it, like, we can talk about it soon. I mean, there's some other topics that I'd really like to chat about. And, you know, Holly, I mean, just to kind of throw it out there, and I can talk about it more, okay? But we've got time. Just to throw it out there a little bit. I think you've been watching me enough, long enough that you've probably heard me say, you know, there's things that I look back on there and realize that I could have, that there could have been better choices made there, at least on my part. That's not to say that the actual outcome would have necessarily been totally different, but there could have been a better job there, done by the city, and I'm part of that. I'm a big part of that. So I recognize my own fault in some of that. But, you know, that was an example of personalities before principles, you know, instead of vice versa. And the personalities there of at least the leadership of Azalea Park Foundation and how that jived with, you know, city park staff and everything, and how a working relationship could even work when it was that type of relationship, and that obviously just wasn't working and couldn't work. So something needed to change there. And that's where, when I look back, seeing some fault of mine, that there were better options for me to work to make the outcome different. You know, I get that one. The Azalea Park Foundation and the whole Azalea Tree, Azalea Trees, you know, that the Azalea Tree cuttings and all that. Again, I'm not saying that all those trees should still be standing by any means, but there were plenty of things, like even like way back, even before a lot of the public got involved with that. You know, there were things, looking back now, I wish I had done different that could have changed the outcome. Not just about trees specifically, but the outcome of relationships with me and members of the public, and just and kind of the fallout and just the overall outcome of all of that. I wish I could do it over again. Egos, yeah, and you know, mine included in that, and just in how much simpler things can be when egos come off the table. You know, that's a deal. That's an issue. You know, and there was plenty of blame to go around there, and there was plenty of, you know, there were plenty of people that were out of line, said things out of line, acted in ways that were out of line. There was a lot of blame, a lot of done wrong there. But I know for me, sorry, someone really wants to get a hold of me. On me, on my end, and that's what I have control over is what I, the choices I made and the way that I acted during that. You know, there's no do over there on some of that. So, guys, my son, Holly Byer, well, thank you. And we can talk about it more. And that's, you know, I get that I got on here and I started this because of the COVID thing, but I'm not hopping off anytime soon. I'm like reminded every day though about some of the problems that this can cause, in other ways. So, but we'll get there. I mean, you know, we'll get there down the road. There'll be more options to do this and where there's not a constant cloud hanging over, you know, my head of things that I'm thinking of relating to COVID and reopening the county. The other thing I thought about is, so, you know, now on Facebook, on these live feeds, I mean, like most of you, there's a button I can push and boom, you can come on camera. So that's something, you know, I could start doing this with a couple of other people and we can be truly conversing and have it live for the community. So I've been thinking about that, you know, moving on in the future. Say, so for example, if we wanted to have a discussion about Azalea Park, you know, formal gardens, and I get on and then click Holly's on and click Candace is on or whoever, you know, and so everyone watching sees four faces, you know, an actual conversation going on. Silas wants to take another run at a song, so I think you want to give her another go. So that's cool. Let him have another go at it, guys. I don't know, he figured something out, and he's a good musician, so I know he doesn't want to leave it quite like that. No thanks from Holly Byer. I'm thinking that's about the camera thing and not about hearing Silas play, so here's Silas.
Alright. So yeah, I wanna try this one again, because I really did not like the way that I did that last time, so I'm gonna try the same song again. Yeah.
Headed down south to the land of the pines, I'm on my way down North Carolina, and staring up the road, pray to God I see headlights. Well, I made it down the coast in 17 hours and picking me a book and dogwood flies. I'm hoping for Riley, I could see my baby tonight. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, mama, rock me. Rock me, mama, like the wind and the rain. Rock me, mama, like a southbound train. Hey, mama, rock me. Running from the cold up in New England, I was born to be a fiddler, an old-time string band. My baby plays the guitar, I pick a banjo now. Ooh, with a North Country wind, it's keep forgetting me down. Lost my money playing poker, so I had to leave town. But I ain't turning back to live that old life no more. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, mama, rock me. Rock me, mama, like the wind and the rain. Rock me, mama, like a southbound train. Walking down south out of Roanoke, I caught a trucker out of Philly, had a nice cold coke. But he's ahead and west from the Cumberland Gap to Johnson City, Tennessee, and I gotta get a move on fifth for the sun. I hear my baby calling my name.
Keep going, sorry.
And if I die a rally, at least I will die free. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, mama, rock me. So rock me, mama, like the wind and the rain. Rock me, mama, like a southbound train. Hey, 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 mama, rock me. Mama, rock me. Mama, rock me. Rock me, mama, like the wind and the rain. Rock me, mama, like a southbound train. Hey, 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 mama, rock me.
Thanks,
that was
a lot
better.
Thank you.
Right on. Yeah, tenacity, Sean Clemens, yeah. Ah, that was cool. Alright, thank you for that. Alright, guys, so Dave Hodge, I saw your question about if the meeting was canceled tonight, and it was you trying to call me, so as soon as I'm off here, I'll call you back, but there wasn't any city council meeting for tonight. It's always on Mondays. So, but I'll call you back, figure out what's going on. Everyone else, have a good night. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow at 6. Thanks for the birthday wishes, too, everyone that did that on my timeline. Oh, you guys seen some of my birthday cards right there. So, I got cake and presents still to do. Cinco de Mayo birthday. Not quite the same without any tequila, but it's still, it's a good time. Okay, thank you guys. Have a good night.